Hi everyone, welcome. It is 4 o'clock on 16th of May 2022. This is the information about how to do the assignments for the ILM level 5 and level 7. I'm joined by Mel Richens. Mel and I go back, I guess, well, every year, it's a year longer, but it's something like 8, 9 years now, something like that. Mel is an ex-lawyer. So you've got an ex-lawyer and an ex-accountant here. Mel, when she was a lawyer, you could say more about if you want, but Mel knows a lot about coaching, and she's the main assessor and marker for the ILM assignments. She's very experienced at doing this. So that's probably the key things to say. Mel, anything you want to add at the moment?
No, I don't think so, other than just to say, really, my goal for today, I'll talk to you more about coaching generally when I see you tomorrow. My goal for today really is just to sort of set out the territory, if you like, in terms of what the expectations are from the ILM side for your assignments, so that you can really hit the ground running, knowing what's expected, knowing what you need to produce, and having some clarity maybe about how to approach it in order to get the best possible results. Okay. Obviously answer any questions that you might have as we go through too. Yeah.
And just to say that Amanda's doing level 5 and Bryony and Jane are doing level 7.
Okay.
Bryony, you were doing, I think, level 5, and you've upgraded. That's right. So that's where you would have seen Mel before. So yep. I would explain this. Yeah. Okay. So, look, Mel, over to you.
Okay. So I am conscious that I'll be doing a lot of talking today, because I just really want to give you all of the information, which isn't my normal style, I have to say, but it will be a bit of an information download, which is really another reason for recording it, so that you can go back over it and collect all the detail. But if you do have any questions as I'm sort of galloping through the documents, do just sort of wave at me, get my attention, and we can break off for any questions. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to, just because, you know, it's a numbers game to some extent, I will direct most of the comments towards level 7, but everything I'm saying about level 7 applies equally to level 5. Yeah. So whenever I use the assignment numbers 700 here, 500 Amanda, when I say 701 here, 501, and whenever I say 703 here, 503, all the content is the same, and the same principles will apply. Okay, whenever there's any difference, I'll highlight that, but the majority of what I will be saying, probably 99.9% of it, is equally applicable to level 5 and level 7, okay? So Jeremy, I think, has forwarded to you a zip file containing some key documents, okay? So that's a set of documents that I've extracted from the larger ILM handbook, okay? Now, that currently runs to pushing 200 pages, I think, and it's hard to extract the wood from the trees, and it can be a bit overwhelming, I think, to students to see the whole thing. So what I've extracted and put into those zip files are the key go-to documents, and really you won't need to go much beyond those documents, okay? So make that your go-to place whenever you're looking to write any of the assignments, okay? Now, if we start with the sort of the bird's eye view, you've got 3 assignments to produce, okay? The first assignment, so that's 500 or 700, is the theory, the knowledge paper, okay? So that's a predominantly sort of desk-based, research-driven, this is the theory of coaching, what it is, how it works, what are the key skills and capabilities of a coach, why that's the case, how do we evaluate the effectiveness of coaching, and so on. Okay, so it's the theory piece. The second assignment, so 501 or 701, is the practical assignment. So it's the skills-based assignment, and that's the actual doing of your coaching hours, okay, the practical hours. And the main piece of work that you'll be doing in order to complete that assignment is putting together a portfolio of evidence which demonstrates that you've undertaken the required number of coaching hours, that you've got a coaching diary that sort of evidences what you've done in those sessions, that you've got a reflective log that shows that you're developing reflective practice, so that you're reflecting on each of the sessions that you've undertaken. There'll be some supervision records to show that you've had supervision in relation to those practice hours, and any other supporting documents, so your sort of initial coaching agreements and things like that. So it's a portfolio of evidence just to show that you have practically done those coaching hours, okay? Then the third assignment, so that's 503 or 703. I wish they'd given them more imaginative titles, but hey, that's what we're stuck with. That's the reflective assignment. Okay, so that's you effectively taking a step back and thinking, well, in light of the theory that I've accumulated by doing the first assignment and the practical application of that theory, how do I rate myself as a coach? What are my strengths? What are the areas that I might want to continue to develop? You know, who am I? What's my identity as a coach? Okay, so that's the sort of the high level big picture view of how the three pieces fit together. Is this making sense so far? Any questions so far? Good, thumbs up, that's what we like to see. No, it's all make sense? Good. Okay, so let's look first at the first assignment. And while I say first assignment, you don't have to do this assignment first. Some students will think, yeah, I want to really get into the knowledge and the theory before I embark upon the practical coaching hours. Other students, they may be who are already, you know, got some experience working as a coach and have already got some clients lined up, might want to start with the more practical side of it first, just to get the hours logged. But the majority start with 700 or 500. So we'll start there. Really, the approach that you take for the others will be the same. So I don't know. I mean, if you can on your screens follow through with the zip file, have you all got the zip file in front of you? Save me sharing the screen. Excellent. Okay, well, that makes life easier then. So let me just expand my view slightly, so I can see you all and see the documents that are on my screen. There we go. So if you've got the front page there of the zip file open, you will see, if I just open it for myself.
Mel, can I just check with everyone? Because Mel's not sharing this, this won't be recorded. Obviously, the words will be, but what you're looking on your screen won't be shared. So if you want to have a record of that, then it's probably best for Mel to actually share the screen. Yes, because then it comes up on my screen and then it gets recorded that way.
Okay, I'll share the screen then. So let's go into share screen. Here we go. So can you all see that? Yep. So you've got the zip file front open there. So unit 700, the key document I would say to go to first whenever you're looking to do any work is the guidance document. So it's the unit 700 guidance document. Okay, so if you want to open that document, I'll just stop the share for a moment and I'll put it on my screen. Okay, can you see that? So, oh, I've got the wrong one. Sorry, that's picked the wrong one. Can you see that as it flipped over to understanding principles and practice? No, I'll need to stop the share and go back out and in. This is... Right, got it now. So you've got a document there that says understanding the principles and practice of effective coaching or mentoring. Okay. The Unit 500 guidance document follows exactly the same format, Amanda. So again, everything I'm saying here, although I've only got that document open, will apply equally to you. Okay. So you'll see the assignment is broken down into three learning outcomes. So here we've got learning outcome one, then it goes down to learning outcome two and learning outcome three at the bottom of page three. Each one of the learning outcomes is broken down into a series of assessment criteria. Okay, so that for this first learning outcome, we've got four assessment criteria, 1.1 through to 1.4. Now, those are effectively the questions that you need to answer in your assignment. And you can view it rather than being one assignment as a series of essay questions. So you need to approach each one separately. This isn't like writing a dissertation or a thesis where you're writing one long continuous assignment. These are a series of separate questions, which is, you know, good for, you know, those of us that have got full-time jobs as well, because it means it's been broken down into bite-sized chunks. Effectively, you haven't got to do the whole thing all in one go. So you've got a series of questions that you can do separately, and they need to be separated. Okay, so when you're approaching them, it's literally a case of write the question. So write 1.1, critically compare strategic purposes, coaching, mentoring, executive or senior level, and then answer the question. And then put the next heading and answer the question. Okay. The reason for that is because each one of those assessment criteria is assessed separately. And you need to achieve the PASS standard for each one in its own right. So there needs to be that demarcation between them. All right. Now, what you've also got in this guidance documents, and this is where it's really helpful, is you've got the sections immediately underneath the assessment criteria that are headed depth, and then the next one, assessment guidance, which are really helping you to interpret the question. Now, if I give you an example of one where this is particularly helpful, if you look, for example, at 1.4 on this sheet, which says determine the relevant factors which can impact on how coaching or mentoring are integrated effectively at an executive or senior level. Now, you might look at that and think, oh, my goodness, what sort of things have they got in mind? I don't really know what they're getting at. If you look at the depth section on the second page over here, 1.4, it gives you some ideas. It gives you some steers. Yeah. So it talks about things like organizational policies, procedures, commitment from senior management, having coaches in place, having an appropriate strategy, champions, etc. Yeah. So you think, ah, now I get it. Now I understand what they're getting at. But then you might start to think, oh, my goodness, there's a lot there. How many do I need to cover? How many factors is enough? Do I need to do two or do I need to do 22? Yeah. So then if you look at the next section under assessment guidance, it says determine at least four relevant factors. Yeah. So it gives you some idea for the content and also the scope. Yep. So you now know, okay, so I've got to identify four factors and I've got some ideas what those factors might be. Pick four and you're good to go. Okay. So that makes sense. And if you follow that process for each one of the assessment criteria, it will enable you to maybe map out a skeleton of what your answer is. So for this one, you know, you've got potentially four headings, use subheadings, use tables, use whatever you need to use in order to set the answer out. So for this one, if you know you've got to do four factors and you know that the assessor is going to be looking for four factors, make it obvious that you've considered four factors by having four subheadings in your answer. Okay.
Can I just add something? And I'm sure you mentioned it later, but I just want to say at this point, what we recommend is that you do two, maybe three of these assessment criteria and then send it to us for marking so that we can give you feedback as to whether you're doing it in sufficient detail, whether it's appropriate. So we'll give you the feedback, incorporate it, and then carry on with the rest of the assessment criteria. The other thing to say is that if by some chance, out of the, on average, is something like 9 or 10 assessment criteria of each paper, if there's a couple that you haven't quite met the pass standard, Mel or Dennis, if he's marking in, will come back to say, just tweak these two assessment criteria. So you have time to, it's not like you've got one shot and you're done. Mm-hmm. You have plenty of, you know, you can just resubmit certain key assessment criteria. I mean, I was going to say that anyway, I'm sure. Yeah. I just want to say that this point.
It's not like, I'll just show my age then. I was going to say it's not like doing your O-levels or GCSEs or whatever it is they call them these days. I don't know, where you get one shot and then you get your sort of pass-fail. This is very much, you know, you will get feedback. And as Jeremy said there, yes, do submit your sort of drafts of the early questions, just so you get that feedback and that sort of peace of mind that you're on the right track, you're going into the right level of detail, so that you can then approach the rest of the assessment criteria with that sort of confidence and knowledge that you're approaching it in the right way. Do that. Okay. Does anyone else have any questions at this stage?
Can I just ask, is there a weighting for each of these? Is some of it worth more than others? So no,
they're all equal in the sense that this isn't a paper, and you'll see when I show you the results sheet, there's no scoring in respect of these questions. So it's not like, again, like setting an exam where you got question one's worth 8 points, but question two's worth 20. So I'm going to spend proportionately more time on question two. These are all, they've got their pass criteria, and it's a pass or a referral sort of approach. So no, there's no waiting. You've just got to achieve the pass criteria for each one of the assessment criteria.
Thank you.
Okay. Good. So with that in mind, as I say, I'll come back to the results sheet in a moment. But while we've got this this page open, let me give you some other sort of pointers in terms of how you answer the questions. The key, and I'm sure I don't need to tell you guys, but I'm going to say it anyway, is answering the question. I'm sure it wasn't just my teachers that used to say, answer the question you're being asked, not the one you would like to have been asked. So it's like, do a forensic examination first of the question. Look at the depth and the guidance in order to get a real understanding of what it is that the question is actually asking for. And to take another obvious potential trap, you know, if you look at 1.2 there, It says critically review the organisational context, strategy, culture and conditions. Yeah. Which means you've got to examine all four. Yeah. So make sure you do all four. Don't, you know, really dive into one and two and then run out of steam and think, oh, I've done two out of four, that's fine. No, you need to do all four. Okay. Now, when you're actually writing your answers, because these are, you know, high level qualifications, level five and level seven, it needs to be more than just what you think. Yeah, they are research based, so you will need to do a considerable amount of reading and Googling to find support for what might be your opinion. It's okay to express an opinion, but it needs to be supported by evidence. Okay. Now, when you are using other people's work to support your answers, you do need to give credit. You do need to reference your sources. You can't just lift other people's words, because that will, you know, fall under the heading of plagiarism, and we don't want plagiarism. Okay, so give credit for other people's work. Reference using the Harvard referencing system. That's the requirement of ILM. Are you all familiar? Have you all come across Harvard referencing before? Bryony and Jane are nodding. Amanda, have you come across it as well? Excellent. Okay. So, I mean, if you do need a refresher, there's lots of really useful guides to Harvard referencing if you just Google it, because it's the referencing style used by colleges and universities in the UK. So there are lots of, if you forget, oh, I can't remember, where do my commas go and what do I put in brackets and what don't I, there are lots of useful guides. Okay. So you need to use Harvard referencing, which means you're doing a short form of reference in the text and then a table of references at the end of the assignment. Okay. In terms of what you use as sources, you've got a range of sources available to you. Obviously, you've got books, online journals. You won't need to go behind any online paywalls in order to get plenty of information to answer these questions. So occasionally you'll find an article reference maybe in a book, and you go to find it and you find it's behind a paywall. Don't worry about it. You'll find enough elsewhere. Okay. So that sometimes throws students. What I would say is just be a bit discerning with the sources you're using, particularly if you're using Google as your best friend, because you will get lots of dubious, sources coming up, particularly when you're looking at, you know, how is coaching or why is coaching effective? Because, a lot of people will write blogs or articles about how effective coaching is because they want to sell coaching services, and it might not be well-researched, evidence-based research. Okay. So really look for papers produced by either the professional bodies or academic institutions. Make those your sort of preferred sources. Okay. But believe me when I say you won't have a problem finding evidence. The biggest problem is often editing out the evidence and reducing it to manageable sizes. There's lots out there. Okay. I've mentioned the professional bodies. Their websites are good go-to sources, particularly when it gets to the second learning outcome on this first paper for both level 5 and level 7, because that's the learning outcome that gets into the skills and capabilities of the coach. So if you look at the professional bodies websites, you'll see that they've got core competency frameworks, codes of practice, and so on. So there's lots of useful stuff there. I don't know if any of you are members of CIPD as well, they've got lots of useful documentation in relation to coaching as well. Okay, if any of you want any particular sort of recommendations in terms of books or sources, then certainly Jeremy and I can steer you in the right direction. There's loads of books and we all have our favourites. It's a case of find one that works for you to start with. I mean, if you want a sort of a starter for 10, I would say, Sir John Whitmore's Coach for Performance is a good place to start. You'll get lots of useful stuff, particularly for the first and indeed the second learning outcome here in that book. It's a book that's been around for a long time and has got a weight to it. So that's a good one. If you want to look on the mentoring side, because there are far fewer books written about mentoring than there are about coaching. Mentoring is often a chapter within a coaching book as opposed to a book on its own. Julie Starr's got an excellent book called The Mentoring Manual. She's also got a coaching manual, which is very good as well, as sort of sources. Both of those are quite well researched in themselves and will send you on a bit of a trail as well, so useful starting points. Okay. All happy with Jeremy, yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, and Mel, again, you probably going to mention it, but I think Mel mentioned it's okay to put your opinion. Mm-hmm. I think ideally you sort of say, John Whitmore says X, Julie Starr says Y, the Association for mm-hmm. Coaching says Z, and Pricewaterhouse says this. I think blah, blah, blah for these reasons. So as long as you can justify your opinions based on evidence and research, that's absolutely fine.
And you'll see that some of the assessment criteria actually, sort of require you to do that because they'll be asking you to reach a conclusion or express a judgment. So it's like that's when it's weighing up the evidence and, including some of your own practical experience potentially. Okay. So far as all of these assessment criteria are concerned, there is no right answer. There is no, because it's very much, it's a subjective thing, coaching and what's effective, and there are different there are a range of opinions. So there's no right answer. There's just this is what I think and this is why, and if you've got enough why to support your theory, then that's fine. Okay. The other question that often comes up, and also it's just come into my head, so I'll deal with it now, before, otherwise there's a danger I might forget, and that's word count. Now, there is a suggested word count for this first assignment, and it's 5,000 to 7,000 words. Okay. Now, I would almost go so far as to suggest that having heard that, you forget that you've heard that. Okay, the reason I say that is because there's no penalty for exceeding it. In my experience, having that as a word count causes a lot of stress to a lot of students and a lot of nights spent trying to edit down what were otherwise great answers. So I would say make your sort of prime objective answering the question fully don't worry about the WordCamp. Now, having said that, don't go overboard. So if I say as a rough guide, some of the questions, and you'll immediately, as you start doing them, we'll sort of get a feel for which are shorter answers and which are longer ones. But as a rough guide, most of these assessment criteria, it's probably about 2 or 3 pages of, you know, a sensible size font with, you know, single line spacing. It's not something that would need a wheelbarrow to be transported. And we're not expecting, you know, the equivalent of a book for each of these answers. Okay, so treat that as a guide, and you can treat the word count as a rough idea. Okay, I've yet to really come across any learner who has really fully and done a really good job on these answers under the word count. They're usually at the top end or above. Okay, so that's why I say it causes a lot of stress, and sometimes learners are taking out what are really good points in order to artificially come below the word count. Is that okay with everyone? Does that sort of, yeah, follow? You're happy with that? I don't know if for some students it's because it's there in black and white. I think it's a rule, and but no, it's there as guidance. Okay. So that's the that's your main go-to document. The other document that is useful for you to have a look at before you start, when you're at that sort of planning phase of your answers, is the results sheet or the mark sheet. So I'm going to stop sharing and I'm going to open that so I've got it on my screen too. So if you want to get that up as well, or use the one that will come up on my screen, it's the one that in the zip file is called Unit 700 Results Sheet. Obviously for you, Amanda, it'll be Unit 500 Result Sheet. Thank you, C. See that? Yep. Okay, so this is the document that either myself or Dennis as assessors complete at the end of the process. But you know, it's freely available. I'm not giving away state secrets here, and I think it really makes sense for students to start with the end in mind. And if you know exactly what it is that the assessor's looking for, it just makes it easier when it comes to planning your answers. So you'll see in the left hand column here we've got the assessment criteria. So those are exactly the same as we've just seen in the guidance document. And then you've got these two columns. You've got the slightly grayer one, the referral column, and the past column. Okay, obviously we're all looking to be in the past column. So it just tells you exactly what the assessor's looking for. So this relates back to what I said in response to your question, Jane. It's these are the criteria that you need to pass. There's no waiting. And for some of them, again, it can be really helpful. Let me scroll down to find one. Yeah, so here we go. Look, 1.3, for instance, in order to pass. So this is critically evaluate alternative learning and development methods to coaching and mentoring. In order to pass, there needs to be a critical evaluation of at least 3 alternatives. So you've got 3 alternatives. Other than coaching or mentoring, so you're not including coaching and mentoring in your 3, and you've got to include key sources to support the critical evaluation. I've got to have some key sources. So again, this isn't this is emphasizing the fact that I need to go to see what the experts are saying in terms of the effectiveness of the other alternatives. Okay, so I would suggest just cast your eye down this mark sheet before you start writing. And whilst, as I say, we're aiming for the pass column, sometimes actually looking at the referral column and seeing what's the difference can actually be quite helpful. Yeah, well, if you know what's not enough and what is enough, then you know where to pitch your answer. Okay. The other thing to bear in mind is each one of these assessment criteria come with what we call an assessment verb. So this is what you actually need to be doing. So you'll see here we've got critically compare, we've got critically review, we've got critically evaluate. You'll see a bit of a theme with the critically, yep. And that's because at these higher level qualifications, you're not being asked to list or identify or, you're actually being asked to do something that's a sort of a higher level cognitive skill. So you're actually being asked to not just identify alternatives to coaching and mentoring, you're actually being asked to evaluate them. Yeah, so your answer needs to be directed towards, what are the pros or the cons, what are the strengths or the weaknesses? Yeah, so it's actually, what is this answer? What is this question actually asking me to do? Because that will determine your approach. There is a short guidance document that I put together. I think it's in the handbook, isn't it, Jeremy? Yeah.
I think it's in the manual. I think it's in your manual. If you don't have it, let me know and I'll email it to you separately.
Yeah, I'll double check the reference. I'm sure it's in there. If not, I'll make sure you get it tomorrow. But that's just like a glossary where it's like a list of the assessment verbs and what that means in English, sort of thing, what that means in real terms, okay, to help you to interpret the questions. Okay, is that all okay? Yeah, so in terms of a strategy, I would say if you're thinking, okay, I'm going to make a start with, assessment criteria 1.1, strategy is look at the guidance document, look at the mark sheet, maybe scope out, put some headings in, start to do your research in order to fill in the blanks. Okay, these documents will give you the structure, the research gives you the content. All right. Anything else you want to add, Jeremy, about that first assignment?
No, I think that's it.
Oh, I've just seen I've just seen Brian's message. Yeah, you're back.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay. Just to reiterate, the key thing, as Mel said, answer the question and send in a couple of assessment criteria so we can mark it and give you feedback. Please don't do the whole lot and then only for us to say, well, you need more detail.
Yeah.
That's not a good idea.
All right. Okay, so let's think about the second assignment then. So the second assignment is your practical. As I said, it's putting together your portfolio of evidence. And for this, you've got a series of helpful templates, okay, that the ILM have produced. Now, you're not obliged to use these templates. Say some people are, already coaching, they've got their own templates, and that's fine. You can carry on using those. But what I would say is, even if that is the case, just make sure you have a look at these templates to ensure that your own contain all the details and all the information that's required. Because obviously these have been put together with an eye to the assessment criteria. Okay, so those are the documents that are, again, in your zip file called diary. Yeah. So unit 701, 702 diary documents. And Amanda, your diary documents are exactly the same as these. So there are no differences between the 700 and the 701 and the 501. So let me put them on my screen.
Okay. Just to be, so, Mel, just to be clear to everyone, 501, 701 is for the level 5 or 7 certificate.
Yeah.
And 502, 702 is for the diploma. As far as I'm aware, each of you are doing the certificates, so ignore 502 and 702.
Yeah, it's just that for these templates, they apply equally to the certificate and the diploma, so that's why you've got the references to both. But you're only doing one assignment, so... Okay, so what this is effectively a pack of documents. Now, I know in the level 5 zip file, there's an extra document tacked onto the end, which I'll come to, Amanda, in the level 7 zip file, for some reason best known only to me at the time, I put it as a separate document. So I'll deal with that at the end. But what we've got here are six pages. Okay, now the first 5 pages you do once for each client. Yeah, so what you'll end up with for your portfolio are a series of, you know, 2 or 3 clients. So each will have like a pack of documents. At the front, you'll have the first 5 pages of this diary document. And then you'll have a series of session records and reflective logs. Okay, these first 5 pages are really just the initial setting up the relationship documents. So you only do these once. Okay, so you've got a cover sheet. It's the first one, which you would typically fill in at the end once you know how many hours you've completed with that client. Okay, so that's like a cover page. Then you need to have some form of coaching agreement, coaching contract. And there's the simplest of simple forms there on page 2. Now, a lot of coaches will have their own coaching agreements, or organisations will have their own coaching agreements. If you've got something else, absolutely stick to what you've got. But you know, if all else fails, you can rely on the ILM one. Okay. Now you'll see here it says signature of coach, mentor, signature of client, and on the previous page it says client reference, signature of client. Everything that you submit for the purpose of the ILM needs to be anonymized for the purposes of confidentiality. Okay. So you don't actually ultimately have to submit a coaching contract that's been signed by the client, if that means that we can identify the client. If they've got an illegible signature, obviously that's fine. So you can redact the signatures. Or you could, if you've just got a hard copy of something that they've signed, the one that you submit, because everything will be submitted electronically, can be this with, you know, signed copy held on file, inserted into the blank. That would be fine too. Okay, but everything needs to be confidential, anonymized. All right. Then the next few pages are really some sort of initial planning pages. They're there to help you. You don't necessarily have to fill in every box. Some boxes aren't relevant to all clients, but this first question, profile of the client and organizational context, is, yeah, obviously useful to fill in. So it's just a couple of sentences setting up, showing that you satisfy the criteria, that this is someone who for level 7 purposes is at the senior executive level of an organization. So there you might put, you know, client X is the, you know, the finance director of a large organization selling, I don't know, coffee cups. She says, just looking at the first thing that her eye lands on a desk. Yep. So you're just showing that this is an appropriate client for you to be coaching for the purposes of this qualification. That's really the purpose of having that book. And for you, Amanda, at level five, it's that they are, you know, someone with, you know, leadership or management responsibilities within their organisation. They don't necessarily have to be at that sort of quite such a senior level, but still, it's, you're not just talking about individual performance, you're talking about team performance or organisational performance. Brian, you've got your hand up.
What about a small business owner? Is that considered senior enough?
Yeah, that's absolutely fine, because what we're looking for is it's someone who's looking beyond themselves into the strategy of an organisation. Yep, so, you know, a smaller business, absolutely fine. Okay. It's not life coaching, to go to the other extreme. Yeah. Ultimately, as we all know, when you're coaching senior executives, it often ends up at life coaching. But that's not where you start out. Okay. The next box, what are the desired benefits of coaching? So that's what's their big goal? What's their initial? What do they want to get from coaching? So it's always good to capture that at the outset. And then there's some, you know, housekeeping, logistics, where are you going to meet? What makes it suitable? Well, for the past 2 years, those have all been online. What makes this venue suitable? We haven't got any choice because of COVID. So, yeah, it's just to show that you're thinking and there's a planning process involved. Okay. Next page, you've got coaches' development needs and SMART goals. So this is just a reminder, it's okay for you to have goals. Yeah. So, you know, what's your goal in coaching this client? It might be to get, you know, experience at coaching individuals at a senior level, or it might be to get experience of coaching people outside of my organisation. Or, you know, if you've got a particular goal around why you've chosen this client, then record that. Next box is SMART goals of the coaches' stakeholders, if relevant. So if this is, you know, if you've been asked to coach someone by someone else in the organisation, you know, what are the goals of the person hiring you or asking you to undertake the coaching? Yeah. Might not be relevant to all, but it's just there because these are just one size fits all templates. So you can tweak it to make it relevant to your client. Okay. Then on the next page, we've got some slightly more reflective questions that really go into the planning. So you might have had an initial conversation with someone, agreed to coach them, you know, the sort of chemistry type session. And then you might think, okay, so what am I going to do with this person? You know, how am I going to build the relationship with them? What's my approach going to be? Well, the next box, what diagnostic or tools am I going to use with them? How do I intend to use them? Now, some students seeing that think, oh, does that mean I have to use a psychometric profiling tool? No, not at all. But if you're going to, you know, if you are Myers-Briggs accredited or Insights or you're going to use some other tool, then by all means put that there, but you don't have to. Yeah, again, it's just thinking, right, I'm going to use a straightforward GROW model approach and see where that takes us. That would be fine. Yeah, it's just what you're demonstrating here is that you're thinking like a coach. You're not just winging it. Okay, is that all making sense so far? All okay? Yep. And then the final page of the pack is the session record. So up to this point, that's just one set of those per client. And then for this one, you have one per session. Yep. So if you have six sessions with one client, you'll have page five once and then six of this page, six session records. Yeah, so this is where you just, yeah, okay, so what do we do? And you'll see the sharp-eyed amongst you will see that this form is unapologetically GROW model structured, because it's, you know, summary, you know, we've got a goal, what options, what's the current reality, what's the current situation, what options were generated, and what are we going to do? Yeah. That doesn't mean to say you have to use the GROW model as your approach, but those are the sort of things that you need to be recording. Okay, is that all okay? So that's the main part of your portfolio. After each session, you need to reflect. So reflective practice is a big thing in the coaching world, and hence the reason why you've got a whole assignment on reflection at the end. But you need to be reflecting on each session. So for that, you've got a reflective log. Now, Amanda, I know this is tacked on at the end in your diary, but for the rest of you, it's a separate document. Let me get that open. It's the one in your zip file that's called reflective log. Get you back. Okay, see that? Again, so this is just one sheet. So again, one of these after each session, and these are, you know, the sort of feedback sessions, which questions which you're familiar with, no doubt. Yeah, overall, how did it go? How was the building of the relationship? What coaching or mentoring tools did I use and why? How well did I listen? How was I questioning? So on. And, you know, what do I need to improve for my next session? So it's that sort of reflective cycle. It's like, what happened? What went well? What could I do differently next time?
Okay, I love that we coach ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll be writing about, you know, theories of reflective learning and so on. So this is you showing that you're walking the talk and actually doing the learning through reflection. Well, so is that clear for you, or what you need to do for the portfolio then?
And again, now, just to be super duper clear, I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but even though we do an assessment that's specifically about reflection,
yeah,
we still have to do a reflection log after,
yes,
a single session.
Because the post-session reflections are, you know, reflecting on what happened then, so it's like an immediate reflection, and it's, you know, specific to that session and that client. Yeah, the reflective assignment is take a step back, look at all of your reflections. Are there any patterns? Yeah. Are there any strengths that are typically showing up across the board? Are there any areas I need to develop? So you're looking at it all in the round. Okay. Yeah. So once you've got your portfolio, sorry, Jeremy, were you going?
Just to add a couple of things. One, as Mel mentioned, is between either two or three clients at the relevant level.
Yeah.
And so within that, let's say, I mean, Amanda, I think it's 18 hours in total for you. For Jane and Brian, it's 20 hours.
Yeah.
You know, you split it roughly. So, Amanda, if you do choose two clients, roughly 9 hours each. If it's three clients, then roughly 6 hours. And secondly, it's probably going to come onto this, but there's supervision. So, Amanda, I think it's for level five, it's 1 hour of supervision. Jane and Brian, there's 4 hours. So what I would suggest is that, Amanda, when you're coming up to roughly halfway through, get in touch with me and we'll arrange a supervision session. Because part of, again, we'll come on to this, but part of, I think, paper three is you need to incorporate the inverted commas supervision you receive from myself or Mel.
Yeah.
And Jane and Bryony, because it's 4 hours and 20, then I would say roughly when you're coming up to sort of 5 hours, 10 hours, 15 hours and 20.
Sorry, just say that again, Jeremy.
Yeah, so because for level seven, there are 4 hours of supervision. I don't know why it's four in level seven and one in level five, but anyway. So for level seven, it's 4 hours. So when you're coming up, you split it roughly into a quarter, the 20 hours into four, roughly up when you come to roughly 5 hours, get in touch, we'll arrange a session, supervision session. Same when you get to the 10th hour, and then 15th, and then 20.
Okay.
Thank you. So it's up to you to be in touch with myself initially, and then either myself or Mel will supervise you.
Thank you.
Okay. Can I just ask a question on the hours? So on the level five, where it's got complete a minimum of 18 hours, in the next sentence, it then says complete a minimum of 54 hours of effective coaching. Is that as well, or is that no?
I think it would be for this diploma.
Yeah, that's for 7A2. For 5A2, so you're on 501, which is 18 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Mel, would you be able to, or Jeremy, able to describe a little bit more about what that supervision looks like? Is do you literally have one of you guys sitting in on our?
No, I was going to say that it's not like the Ofsted inspector comes in and sits in a coaching session with a clipboard, tutting or whatever. No, for coaching, supervision is a reflexive activity. So it's after the event. The supervisor encourages you, and you'll understand this because you'll actually be writing a question about what is supervision and why is it important and how does it work. It's encouraging more deeper reflection. It's your opportunity to maybe ask questions or get some advice from your supervisor. You know, occasionally, you know, you have a challenging client and you don't know where to go with them, so it gives you the opportunity to say, I don't know what to do with this one. And you know, the supervisor probably won't give you the answer, but will coach you to come up with options and ideas. And so it's supporting you to support your clients effectively, plus facilitating your growth and development.
So what you'd certainly, I would do quite, I'm sure Mel would as well, is if you come with your notes and with like a summary of, I've seen client A for 2 hours, I've seen client B for 3 hours, and client C for 1 hour. This is what they each wanted. I've personally taken normally client by client, but sometimes I look for overview, so asking you what patterns have you noticed, or so be prepared with that information. Yeah. So we kind of delve into clients, and I personally want to find out which approach you've used. I might ask, how else might you have approached it? So again, as Mel was saying, it's for the development. And you know, I'm certainly not saying my approach is the right way. It's just it's good as a coach to have different angles to approach different situations.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the reasons for keeping those reflective logs too, because the bottom question is, you know, what might I do differently, or what questions might I have for my supervisor? Even so, it's then if you reflect on your reflections prior to a supervision session, then you'll have the some questions. That's one of the things I always do is, okay, so what thoughts or reflections, what areas have you identified that you need to develop, and what are your plans? Okay, so it's there to be supportive, and also, and you'll see when you do the research into, you know, what supervision is, it's a great way. And I actually, that's what I was doing before I had this call. I had a supervision session with a student, and one of the things we look at is parallel processes. So the coach was having the same issue as their client was having. And so the water was getting a bit muddied. It's like, whose stuff is this? Because the coach was sort of overlaying their challenges onto the client's challenges, and it was all getting a little bit confused. So these things happen. Yeah. And it's something that is ongoing. This isn't just supervision for the purposes of this, this qualification. It's not just the ILM, you know, the professional bodies. That's one of the requirements, that if you go down an accredited coach route, they will require that you keep up with supervision. It's good practice ultimately, and it's a sign of professionalism. I you know, I have a supervisor and I expect you do too, Jeremy, and I wouldn't be without them. In fact, I have more than one, because I, you know, go to one for one sort of thing and the other for other stuff. But it's really useful because it can be, you know, a bit isolated being a coach, and you just need someone to bounce ideas off. You know the answers, but you just sometimes need to speak it out loud.
Do you mind if I just ask a question? Is that okay? With the clients that you choose or that you work with, do they have to be from different backgrounds to yourself, i.e. if you work in education, can you just work with people in education, or can you work outside, or do you recommend a mixture?
All of the above, really. Either applies. Okay. They can be all from within your own organisation or your own business sector.
Yeah.
But equally, they can be different.
Okay.
Too. Now, there are pros and cons to both approaches. I mean, obviously, when you're doing only two or three clients, there's less scope for variety. I would say on the one hand, go for the clients it's easy for you to access. So that might well be ones within your own organisation. Equally, there's merit in going outside because you get a different perspective. And it's actually easier to coach people when you've got very little or no knowledge of what it is that they're doing, because there's less of a tendency to slip into telling or advice giving. So there's actually merits in going outside of your own sort of sphere or your own sector. But as I say, because you're looking at two or three clients, there's not that much scope for that. So I would be pragmatic about it and go for how can you easily access two or three individuals at the appropriate level of seniority? And if that's all within your organisation, then so be it. You can broaden your experience, once you finish the qualification. That's a bit vague and woolly, but does that help? Good.
Carry on.
Is
there a time scale for completion? So is there a sort of set period in which, do you have 3 months, 6 months? Does it work like that? Or
Jeremy, you can
answer, yeah.
I think.
So the answer is yes. Let me explain. So when you join the ILM, you have 3 years membership. And for a good few years, I used to give people 3 years to do the paper. And guess what? 3 years came and their life had changed, right? So for whatever reason. But, you know, ignoring pandemics, life had changed. So what I've started to do the last probably year and a half is give basically 12 months. And the reason I've done that is because if I give you 12 months, you'll do it in 12 months. And you're actually more likely to get it done in 12 months than I give you 3 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
So if you think about 12 months, and roughly, I mean, let's say it's 30 assessment criteria. If you do one every week or so, that takes you, say, 7-8 months. Factor in a couple of holidays and bits like that. You've got time to do it.
Yeah.
And one a week, actually, if you put your mind to it, what's that? Maybe 4, 5, 6 hours a week. It's reasonable. I know we've all got busy lives, and it is. I think it's reasonable if you do it that way. So that's my answer, Amanda.
That's a good answer, I think.
Yeah,
because I agree with you. 3 years.
It's
going to drag on, isn't it? Yeah. So it's better to keep the focus going. The momentum going.
Absolutely.
I remember people. Someone do a level five in about 6 months.
Hmm.
And he was a director of a company as well, an IT consultancy. So this wasn't a guy who's... Sorry? No, I'm saying it's doable. I'm saying it's doable, even for busy people.
That's fine. Yeah. No,
that's my point.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you used the right word there, Amanda. It's momentum. It's like get going and keep going. It's like little and often. Is what gets students through quickly. I mean, I've, you know, experienced lots of people who have a mad burst of activity and then go completely quiet.
Yeah.
Because they sort of almost burn themselves out initially. doing too much too soon. It's that planned, keep knocking one off at a time.
Yes.
That's the approach that seems to be the most productive ultimately.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm conscious of the time. Is everyone okay? I mean, what I've got to say, I've probably about another 10 minutes. Does that work for everyone? Because I'm quite happy to keep going. But if you do need to disappear, then I understand. Is that okay? Yeah. We've done the lion's share of it. So you've got all of your documentation. So let's just finish off 701 and 501. You've got this mound of paper that you've produced from doing your 18 or your 20 hours of coaching. The final task then is to put it together in a sort of submittable format. And that's the document that's headed example documents to record portfolio of evidence. Just get that open and then I'll share my screen. So this assignment is not so much as an assignment as a collating job, really. What you've got here, you could think of it as almost like a extended table of contents or a series of signposts to point the assessor in the direction of the right piece of paper to find the answer. Okay. So you've got this table. Most students will reproduce a table like this. Some will do it in narrative form because they don't like using tables. It's up to you. But what you just basically need to do is steer the assessor in the right direction. So as an example, AC 1.1, agree and establish a coaching or mentoring contract that meets individual and stakeholder requirements at an individual or senior level. In there, you might put C, page 2 of coaching diary for clients A, B and C. If indeed your coaching contract is on page 2 of your coaching diaries. Yeah. AC 1.2, establish and build effective coaching or mentoring relationship. You will sense that this will get a bit repetitive, and it does, so don't worry about that. Establish and build effective coaching or mentoring relationships with individuals at an executive or senior level. Well, if you've completed those coaching diary templates that I've gone through, you'll probably say something in here rather than title. It's just a little couple of sentences that say, yeah, I met each client for a chemistry session. My plan for what I was going to do is on page 3 of the coaching diary, and the fact that relationships were formed is evidence from the feedback I got. So it's just a series of just bullet points that direct I can see you've done some planning. And you've established an effective relationship. Oh, and by the way, they're all senior individuals. So 2.1, plan 20 hours of effective coaching and mentoring at an executive or senior level. There you might put C coaching diaries, which total 20 hours of coaching. So tick, 20 hours of coaching. The planning process, initially, plan page 3, and then I planned in my reflective log what I was going to do in the next session, or whatever's appropriate for you. But it's not like writing a big essay, as I say, it's just pointing the assessor to the right place in the portfolio. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the hard work is obviously doing the hours. This is just the housekeeping that goes with it, because everything is now submitted electronically. And, because you'll probably call your folders, you'll have a folder for each client. So you might have client A, client B, client C. You need to be just showing the assessor which folder they need to look at or which document they need to open. Okay. Any questions about that? I mean, obviously, if you get to when you get to this stage, and you've got all of your coaching diaries, if you are having any, queries about, just what to put in those boxes, then just give us a shout and we can give you a steer. Okay. Right. So the final assignment, and there's very little really for me to say about this one, because really everything that I said about assignment one applies to this one, is the unit 703 or unit 503, the reflective piece. So I'm going to open up the guidance document here. And you'll see it looks very familiar. It follows exactly the same format as the first assignment that we looked at. So series of learning outcomes separated down into assessment criteria. And the guidance document gives you the depth and the assessment guidance, extra information. So this is going back to more of an essay form assignment. But here it's more reflective. So whereas for the first assignment, the evidence that you're looking for to support what you're saying is outside of yourself, it's going to the books, it's going to the professional bodies looking for external research. Here, most of the evidence that you're using to support what you're saying is your own evidence. Okay, so most of the referencing that you'll be doing will be referencing your own coaching diaries and reflective logs. Yep, so when you're analysing your own strengths, say for this one, most students will do, a sort of a SWOT analysis type approach. It's not a case of just listing your strengths. I'm a good listener. I'm a good communicator. And this is evidenced by, the feedback I got from client C in session three or whatever. Yeah. So it's supporting what you're saying.
Can I just ask something then, Mum? During the training course, when you did the exercises, each of you, myself or Richard or whoever was assisting would have been in the room from time to time, and we've made notes on you. So we've got for each of you our document, our records of what it was like. So if you would like that, email me and I'll send you each your own version of that, which evidences some of the you observed coaching. So that's, and also I think on the course I asked you to make your notes, your reflections after each main exercise.
Yeah.
So Mel, I'm assuming they can refer to that as well, because it's all part of the course.
Absolutely. You can put all of that in your portfolio. That's all useful evidence. Okay. So as I say, there's a lot of cross-referencing, which is why, you need to do this assignment after you've done your coaching hours, because you need to be using the evidence produced by the coaching to support the reflection. There are some questions that do require you to go into theory as well as practice. And those are clear. So, as an example, 1.1, for instance, while you're analysing your own strengths and areas for development, if you look at the assessment guidance section, here it's saying analyse own strengths and areas of development, how they fit performance. Reference must be made to a model of reflective learning. Yeah. E.g. Kolb. And we'll talk about Kolb tomorrow. Are you all on the training tomorrow? No. Yes.
Amanda's not. Amanda's doing level 5 or level 7.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So those of you that are with me tomorrow we'll talk about Kolb. So you need to put in a model. But here, because this isn't the theory paper, you're not you know, weighing up the pros and cons of COLB as such and going into the detail of the model, you're actually applying the model. Yeah, so it's a little bit of, you know, maybe a little bit of description of what the model is and then how that relates to your practice. Yeah, so it's slightly different emphasis. But there'll be very considerably less of that in this assignment. As I say, most of it is reflecting on your own practice, where you do need to reference external sources. It will be clear from this document. Okay, but the same approach for this one as the first one. You know, be clear about what the question's looking for. Do each one separately. Treat the assessment criteria as headings, and then answer the question. Move on to the next one. Answer the question. Okay. Any questions about that or anything at all?
That's really, I have a question about the training tomorrow. I've got it in my diary that it's taking place, but I don't think I've received a link yet. But I am having difficulties with my email, so maybe I've missed it. But I've searched my junk email, but I can't find anything.
It's the same link as this one, finally.
Same link as this one, brilliant. Yeah. And what time does it start?
9:30 to 5:30.
Brilliant.
It may finish slightly early, but it's a 9:30 start, so doors open, so to speak, about 9:15.
Great, I'll bring my coffee.
Yeah, great. Just to say about this, so Mel's going to show this, but there's also a result sheet for papers 501, 701,
yeah,
and 503, 703, yeah, which will be similar in structure to the one that she showed you for 500,
yeah,
700.
Yeah, they're all in that zip file. So again, it's the same approach to them all, really, particularly the first and the third one. So when you're approaching this one again, look at the guidance. That will give you the ability to sort of structure your answer, double check with the mark sheet just to make sure that you're ticking all the boxes, and then go back through your coaching evidence to find the sessions where you exhibited that skill or that strength to cross-reference, and if you need to do any external research, if it is one of those questions where you need to look at a model or so on, then obviously the same good practice in terms of referencing your sources and so on applies, but you'll be doing much less of that in this final assignment.
I'm really sorry, Mel and Jeremy, I have to dive off now, but I think I've got all my questions answered.
Excellent.
Thank you so much. It's
good.
So useful.
And good. I'll
see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Ronnie.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Jeremy, could I ask a question very quickly?
Of course.
Just, I suppose, for me, doing the level five,
yeah.
Can I just get started then? Yeah, great.
Yeah, and same for Jane and Bryony. I mean, what's going to happen? Well, can I just check? Jane, Amanda, are there any reasons why Julie shouldn't register you this Thursday with the island?
No.
Okay, great. So the 12 months will start ticking from then.
From Thursday.
Thursday, yeah. Get cracking. You've got the information you need.
Yeah.
Mel's gone through it. Start at paper 501 or 701. Get going. Yeah. If you want to start your coaching hours, do that. If you want to wait till you're a fair way through the written paper, do that as well.
Just get going. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just momentum. On Unit 503 additional templates. For some reason, it just says Windows cannot complete the extraction. So all the other folders are absolutely fine except for that one. So I'm wondering, is that my end or...
Let me have a look.
Well, if you email it to me, I'll just forward it on to Amanda.
Yeah, it must be because it's fine. Mine, so I'll email a fresh
file
to Jeremy and then can forward it to you. Yeah, but no, it's fine.
Thank you.
My end. Oh, you can maybe sweat then. No! What happened?
Well, oh, I didn't mean to make you sweat. I kept clicking on it because is it me? But then I thought I better ask because it was probably,
I
need that information.
Sorry, can I maybe ask a very silly question? And I apologise if it is. So when we start coaching, we've got to do 20 hours of coaching sessions, depending on how many clients. In the first one, is it the chemistry session? Does that count as a coaching, or do you do the chemistry session and the coaching all in one go?
It's not a silly question at all. I'm going to be vague again, but it's a yes and a no, because there are chemistry sessions and there are chemistry sessions. So it may be if the chemistry session is, you know, very quick, you know, let's say it is someone within your organization and you know most of the territory and you maybe already have some sort of relationship with them, the chemistry session is going to be very quick and you'll probably get into coaching proper. And so it's like, okay, so what do you want to get out of this, you know, coaching relationship? And you might actually start to explore that. If it goes into that sort of starting to explore, so you're sort of getting into a grow model, let's put it that way, then absolutely you can count it. If it's the sort of chemistry session where, well, I'm not sure whether I really want to coach this person, I'll meet her for a coffee just to check them out, and you're really only just having a chat just to see if there is chemistry there, then no.
So your coaching diary would start for the first time after that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
The first time it actually, you know, if a fly on the wall observing it would think, oh, there's coaching happening there. The first, yeah, when you actually start the coaching relationship, as opposed to the deciding whether we're going to actually have a relationship.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Thank you.
Mel, do you want to stop sharing the screen unless there's any need to? Okay. Other questions, Jane or Amanda? Anything else from you?
No, thank you.
No, thanks.
Just to say, if questions occur to you going through, you know where we are.
Yeah.
You'll have Mel's email address anyway. So often the question, you can, as long as you keep Julie and I in the loop, just so we can keep yes. tabs. But often the communication will be directly between you and Mel. Mel always copies Julie and I as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We, just to say, you'll be asked to sign something to say that it is your own work, because ILM are very big on plagiarism, as Mel has mentioned. So, and again, as Mel said, you can absolutely refer to manuals, books, etc. They want you to. And it's probably not relevant here, but I just have to say it. If some people, if there's three or four people in the same organisation, you can't copy the same, you know, each other's work. It's just, it's not going to cut the mustard, really. So you can talk. I mean, you two or Brian or other people, of course, you can talk and discuss and share resources. Mm-hmm. But written work has to be yours and your ideas and your
questions. Yeah.
Anything else, folks?
No, thank you. Thank you very much, Mel. Thank you.
Yeah, Jeremy.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you for your questions.
Yeah. So, Amanda, we'll be in touch anyway. Jane, I'll see you tomorrow.
You will. Thanks very much, Mel. Thanks, Jeremy.
See you there.
Thank you.
Bye, Mel.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, Jane.
Bye. See you.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.